Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-commerce Paradise Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. I'm going to talk to you about how to recruit suppliers and what kind of suppliers to recruit and what not to recruit. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, or if you haven't gotten my free niches list, go check it out. It's a list of the 99 most profitable high-ticket dropshipping products in 2020. Go to ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. All right, guys, so recruiting suppliers is essential to the profitability of your business, since a dropshipping business is based upon suppliers for their stock and inventory. you won't be building out your own inventory. You'll be using the inventory of your suppliers. So you have to recruit suppliers to get them on board. Now, typically there are different types of suppliers out there. There's distributors, there's brands, there's different sizes of businesses that are suppliers. There's really big businesses like distributors that sell multiple brands at wholesale prices, right? There's bigger and smaller distributors. There's small brands. There's brands that have a catalog of like 50 products, maybe a catalog of 100 products. There's brands that have a catalog of thousands of products. There's also brands that have catalogs of like one or two or three products, maybe 10 products, you know? So there's all different sizes and types of suppliers out there. And you'll have to really get a good idea of who to go through to get what. But bottom line is, really, every time you can go directly to the brand to get a product, usually you're getting a better margin. That's not always the case. There are some cases where the brand itself would rather sell in bulk to a distributor first and then have that distributor sell to the dealer and the dealer sell to the end consumer. There's sometimes that happens. So they offer the distributor a way better price than they would offer you as a dealer direct. So it makes more sense to go through the distributor, because even the distributor can offer you a better price than the supplier would offer you direct. Yeah, that happens a lot in the lock and safe industry. I used to work there myself 10 plus years ago, and I even have a high-ticket dropshipping store selling in that industry, and what happens a lot is exactly that. So it makes more sense, instead of going to get the brand directly in those cases, to actually go in and getting the distributor that sells those brands, and thus you'll get access to a lot more distributors' products. And you're going to have to talk to the distributor about your pricing, obviously, on other brands, but you know, that's how that works. So when you're looking at a competitor's site, first and foremost, to try to get an idea of what brands you should try to recruit, you're going to make a list, and when you research those brands on Google to find their contact information, you got to get an idea whether they go through distributors or not. You can always call them and they'll probably tell you. That's usually the easiest way to do it, but on their website it might show directly there, you know, to reach out to their distributors to talk about setting up an account. So especially if the brand's in another country, like with espresso machines, a lot of the brands are in Italy, so you're gonna have to go with the US-based distributor, which there are a few. And it's just another example, but so let's talk about that first. A lot of people, they go to Google to try to find dropshipping suppliers, okay? They just type in like dropship suppliers, like whatever niche you want to sell in. But it's not really a good way, because a lot of the suppliers aren't really marketing themselves as dropshipping suppliers, okay? So that you're not going to find it with those keywords in Google. And if you did, they're probably some sort of a shady middleman that's going to charge you up front and then take a margin cut of every single product order that you send to them. So it's not really worth setting up accounts with them, because they're not real distributors. They're just shady middlemen that forward purchase orders on and take a cut and charge you a monthly fee. I've seen that happen in some industries. It's really weird how those people still do business. They just kind of take advantage of people that don't know any better, which makes sense. There's a lot of people like that, unfortunately. But if you know better, then you'll be able to avoid these scams, okay? So know better. And the way that it works is you have to go find your future competitor stores. These are niche stores specifically, usually not the broad stores, but the niche ones that you'll find the best time finding suppliers on. And they got to not have an address, obviously. If they have an address, then those suppliers, they might only sell to brick and mortar stores. It doesn't really hurt to extract those suppliers anyways and just contact them anyways, because they'll just tell you no. But you'll find the best ratio percentage of approvals when you extract from a website with, you know, no address on it. So that's usually the best way to go about it. And when you finally got to that point where you realize that, you found a good list of suppliers and you contacted them and stuff like that, then you're going to have way better percentage of actually keeping those suppliers on board. All right, so let's talk about different types of suppliers, like as far as quality goes now. Suppliers come in different like sizes and stuff like that. The better quality suppliers are always the ones that are going to have better product quality and better customer service. The worst suppliers are going to have low product quality, bad customer service, or lack of customer service. And they're also going to be, how should I put this? Just, you know, typically not good suppliers to work with. They're going to have high shipping costs. I mean, that kind of is a no-brainer if you're going to sell big, bulky products. They're going to have lower margins, those crappy suppliers. Sometimes they have good margins, but, you know, if the products are showing up damaged and they're not fulfilling their warranty, you know, they're not doing a good job at that. They're not accepting the product back and paying for return shipping and stuff like that. They're just kind of a shitty supplier. If they screw you over, you got to let them go. But it's hard to really determine in the first place. The best thing you can do is look for reviews on third-party marketplaces of that supplier's products. And, you know, competitor niche stores, oftentimes, you know, they'll fake their reviews. So I wouldn't count on those as much as I would on places where you can't fake reviews as easily, which is like eBay and Amazon. Okay, so check those out before you get on board with the supplier. And let's see what else. Suppliers are work in all different types of ways. Some suppliers take credit cards. Some suppliers do like net 30 terms, net 60 terms, net 90 terms. Some suppliers won't even take a credit card or give you terms. They require like wire deposits to their bank account to pay for invoices. So you'll encounter all different types of suppliers with high ticket dropshipping because you're working with like directly with businesses. You're not working with big distribution networks and stuff like that. A lot of the dropshippers, you know, you go to China and you find like some listing on AliExpress. It's kind of like buying on eBay or Amazon. You know, you just buy from that website and that person that listed it there then ships it out. It's pretty simple. You don't have to get accounts with those suppliers since they're already listing on AliExpress. And really, in reality, if the customer knew it was on AliExpress, they could order it themselves, they probably would. And a lot of people are kind of keen to that now. So whenever they see like an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad for a product, they're just going straight to AliExpress to buy it if they want it, and they get it for like a fifth of the price. So that obviously doesn't work anymore. Sure, it does, because there's still a lot of people that are kind of stupid. don't want to be too mean, but it's true. Or you just like the store so much that you want to send them more money for whatever reason. You just, you know, want to give them money. I mean, there's generous and, you know, nice people out there. Anyways, so supplier contacting is really important. You got to do it right. Okay, the best way to do it is to reach out to them by a phone call and to start short. Hey, you know, I'm so-and-so with thisstore.com, looking to set up a dealer account, prepay for our orders. You know, would you be interested? Or, you know, who should I speak to for that? And either, you know, you'll be talking to the person, right, directly, or sometimes you'll talk to a secretary first and then you get forwarded to the right person usually. So it's like you ask, you know, who should I speak to? And then once you speak to the person, you just explain them a bit about your store and you and your marketing, where you're from, and, you know, what your goals are, what your, you know, what your sales are like right now, and why you think they'd be a good fit for your store. And then they'll reply back, yes or no. And there you go. And sometimes they won't answer the phone, so you just follow up with an email. And then if they don't answer the email, you follow up with another phone call. You just keep following up back and forth until they respond to you. It goes phone call, email, phone call, email, phone call, email. Because if you just respond via email, sometimes there's not really a personal connection there. And you really want to build rapport with these suppliers, okay? If they don't take phone calls at all, which is kind of weird, but it happens sometimes, and that's fine. But usually you want to build some rapport with the supplier. Talk to them. They're really cool people. They're entrepreneurs just like you and me usually, so they're going to be friendly. They're going to help you get ideas on how to sell their products. They're going to give you energy and get you excited about selling their products because they want you to sell their products. High ticket products are expensive. They want to keep moving their inventory. They need more dealers to do marketing for them. They know some dealers are going to do marketing in different ways than other ones and better than other ones. And so you just want to make sure that you're constantly staying in touch, and they're going to provide you with promotions and other ways, marketing materials, inventory updates, pricing updates, things like that. Okay. The closer you are with your suppliers and the more sales you do with your suppliers in the long run, the more likely you'll be able to ask for some sort of a special agreement whereby that supplier stops accepting new dealers in exchange for you putting more investment into marketing their brand and creating content for their brand and selling their brand's products online. These exclusive agreements are perfectly legal. It's an agreement between a dealer and a supplier to no longer provide dealer accounts to new potential online stores. And to do that, you know, you really just have to talk to the supplier a lot and give them a really good reason to do that, because oftentimes suppliers obviously know that that's going to cut out a lot of their sales potential just relying on one website to do their sales and marketing for them. But if you want to be that one big website and do the best job at selling them and providing the service and all that stuff, then possibly you can do that with them. A lot of suppliers are not going to set up dealer accounts for online-only stores. It's just the way it goes, okay? You're going to have to get suppliers that are willing to do dropshipping, and you're always going to have a refusal rate. Some suppliers that do dropshipping are just not going to want to set up a new store at a particular time. Some suppliers that are only going to want to work with brick-and-mortar stores just because they only want to work with brick-and-mortar stores. It's just kind of the way it goes. And if you just get that in your head, like that you know that you're going to have a percentage of suppliers that are going to refuse you, it's fine. And just get used to it, okay? And just put them on a list of people to follow up with. I would follow up maybe like once a month with people that refuse you, and see if they're open to it then. Usually things change season by season, so maybe follow up in like 3 months or something like that. But just follow up, don't not follow up, just kind of like giving up, that you got to follow up with people. Sometimes they'll say yes. And if you give them a little bit of an incentive, like, hey, we're making lots of sales and we're having to refer potential leads from your products to other suppliers' products, you can even create content on your website to target the keywords for your competitors' products and then convince them in the content to buy your suppliers' products. It's kind of a sneaky SEO trick that a lot of competitors of each other do through content marketing, but you can do it as a dealer too. And you can convince that supplier then, in that case, if you're actually getting traffic and converting sales to other suppliers, you can convince them to give you an account eventually someday because you're already ranking for those keywords. Just learn SEO, guys. It's really important. It's the best thing you can offer a supplier is SEO and content marketing services, because normally they have to pay thousands of dollars every month for that kind of thing. So if you can provide it for them for free for an account, you'll have an awesome business and they'll have an awesome business as well. It's a good partnership in that sense. Recruiting suppliers, you're going to have to fill out dealer agreements. Okay, this is something that a lot of people aren't used to doing outside of this business model, but with high ticket dropshipping, all these suppliers that you're going to deal with directly, they're going to require some kind of an agreement to fill out with. It's like setting up an account with AliExpress, except there's a lot more information about your business required. Okay, you're going to have to plug in your name and your business name and your address and your phone number, your email, how long you've been around in business. They'll ask you like a survey of questions, what's your annual revenue like, blah, blah, blah. And you have to sign it. You'll have to sign probably a minimum advertised price policy. If the supplier does not have minimum advertised price, it's going to be harder to sell their products online. So just be aware of that. Some suppliers have high margins and expensive products, but no MAP, which in that case, it might be worth it. But if the margins are low or something like that, it's just not even worth it. But if the margins are high and the price is high enough, you can provide some kind of bonuses and just price match your competitors' listings, and you can still be profitable with those kinds of suppliers. But oftentimes, it's harder to compete. So just keep that in mind. But you'll have to sign the minimum advertised price policies. Make sure you read through the dealer contract, everything that's involved, and that you get an idea of exactly what you're getting yourself into with that particular supplier, especially when it comes to their warranty and returns policy, because some suppliers don't have a very good warranty, and some suppliers don't have any return policy. So you really want to keep a keen eye on that, and you're going to definitely want to put that information on your website clearly so that your customer knows that, like, for instance, if a supplier does not take returns, that you do not take returns. All sales are final for that particular brand's products, okay? If the customer doesn't know that and they check out thinking, they get 30 days to return it and they want to return it and whatever, there's going to be issues, okay? And issues are never fun. So make sure you put things clearly on your website when it comes to warranty, exactly how long they have, and make it easy to find for them as well. What I usually do is I have like a main warranty page with links to all the sub warranties, or like an FAQ section where you can drop down and you see each of the warranties within that FAQ section. Same thing with return policies and shipping times and policies for each supplier. Okay, it's pretty easy to do, and it's definitely a good idea because it'll help customers know what they're getting themselves into before they purchase from you and purchase a particular supplier's product. It's always good to put everything up front on your website. Just generally speaking, because then you'll have less customer remorse. Customer remorse kind of sucks. If somebody buys off your website and then like regrets that decision a few days later, and that product already shipped out or it's already being like custom built or something like that, so they can't return it or get a refund. And that's just kind of, it's silly, but some people just make impulse decisions, even with iTicket products. So usually the best thing you can do is just put all the information you possibly can on the product page. whenever you get emails and calls about particular products that the answer was not on the product page, add that to the product page clearly so that in the future somebody has that same question, it'll be on the product page, either at the bottom in a FAQ section or in big bold text somewhere in the middle, or at least have a Q&A app, you know, on the product page so people can ask questions right there and read through other people's questions and answers and stuff like that. That stuff helps a lot. And yeah, you got to make decisions on what suppliers to keep and what suppliers to get rid of eventually. If you get a supplier on board, but you just never sell their products, ever, 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 I would probably just get rid of them at some point because they're taking up space on your website. Products aren't moving. You know, you can keep the supplier and put their listings on eBay, but having them on your own website and not selling, it kind of just shows that like they're a distraction. So I would probably just get rid of them, and you won't have to pay for that traffic anymore. Just put them on eBay or something like that and sell them there. Yeah, so suppliers that offer like decent margins but have really bad product quality and like shipping damage issues and all sorts of bad stuff, or they just don't come through in their return policy, even though you have good margins, maybe even they're like best sellers on your store and stuff like that, but it's a nightmare to deal with your business now because of all their warranty issues and shipping damage issues and return rate is really high. You just got to make a decision to get rid of them and look for better suppliers. Okay, even if your income is going to go down, you're not going to be in as much of a, you know, flipping out constantly kind of mode, because you know there's fires to put out, emergencies all the time. No one wants to run a business where there's always fires to put out and emergencies. It's just, it's a hectic mess. So don't put yourself through that. Make sure that you are going to, you know, only have suppliers on board that are good suppliers. Okay. And suppliers will make or break your business. So keep that in mind, guys. And definitely put everything you can into the ones that are good. Okay. If you find a good supplier, one that rocks, that's awesome. Make tons of content, you know, and raise your bids and put those products on as many marketplaces as you can. Try to sell those products. Best-selling products from good suppliers, that's gold. That's the cash cow right there. That's what you're going after. And, you know, especially when they're in stock all the time, that's awesome. That's the best thing you can hope for. Go after that stuff, okay? All right, guys. I hope I covered almost everything I possibly can about recruiting suppliers in this episode and a bit more. If you guys have any questions, you can always drop a comment on YouTube, or like, you know, go to my blog and stuff like that, or email me, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. I'm happy to answer any questions you have. You can get into my course and mentorship program. It's a group coaching program where I provide private support, you know, like back and forth video calls and stuff like that. You go to ecommerceparadise.com/masterclass. It's part of a course, high ticket dropshipping masterclass. Get into that, guys, if you're not already. If you're interested in having me do the work for you, build a website, build your whole business, you can check out my turnkey Shopify store offer at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. If you want to get private coaching from me, one-on-one coaching, I have an offer at ecommerceparadise.com/coaching. And if you want to get my list of recommended resources, all the software and services I use to build my business, definitely check it out at ecommerceparadise.com/resources. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.